Welcome to another equipping message of Be The One Ministries. Our prayer is that this message activates, elevates, and cultivates you to be the leader that you are called to be. For more information, visit BeTheOneMinistries.com.
I'm excited about what I want to share with you. I just want to let you know that Be The One Ministries is basically this. Is, you know what, I'm just going to give you a little update on what I do and who I am. I feel like we're missionaries from this body because you guys are helping us do the things that God has called us to do. And so, man, you know what, growing up, and this is not my sermon, so I'm going to be really quick. But growing up, I had a lot of issues. Anybody got issues? You cannot raise somebody else's hand. But seriously, you know, I was adopted from a foster home. My parents got, the ones that adopted me got divorced. I didn't have a really big relationship with my dad. I had all these learning disabilities, ADHD, hyperactivity. I was the kid that, you know, you didn't know what I was going to do, but it was wrong. I was the kid that in church that got spanked by everybody, you know what I'm saying? My grades suffered. I tried to do some sports, and, man, I had asthma. I had all these, I felt like everything I tried to do, I couldn't do the way I wanted to do it. And I wanted to be first, but I was terrible at being first. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if anybody ever feels that way, but, you know, you want to be the one to knock it out of the park. You want to be the one to have the big deal. You want to be the one, and I just wasn't that guy. You know, I wasn't the one in high school that was voted most likely to succeed. I was voted most likely to be incarcerated. And in my mind, I had these great dreams, but I felt like every time I tried to put it out there, I was always second best, always third, never first. You know, and after a while, it's just like, you know, man, I suck. And you develop that mentality, and you're just like, man, you know what? And I graduated high school three months from 20. You know, and so no father figure, birth parents didn't want you. You just kind of feel like, man. And so I remember being in a movie theater. I was an assistant manager of a movie theater, always second. But I was making good money, and I thought, you know what, one day I'm going to be the manager of this movie theater, and that was my aspirations. I was going to manage a movie theater. I loved it. I was assistant manager of a movie theater, and I'm telling you, I got to see all the free movies. I traded with Burger King and McDonald's. They brought me food. I let them into the movie theater. I'm telling you, life, what bucket list, all everything was fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? I'd given up on being first, but I was going to be a dang good second. You know what I'm saying? And I remember being in church, and I don't know about you, but you ever feel like there's something in you you can't get out? You can't really identify it. You can't really articulate it, but you know it's there, and it fights you when you want to be average. It fights you when you want to be complacent. It's the thing that all of your friends don't get, feel conviction, but you feel conviction. Now, you may avoid it, but you feel it. You know, when everybody else is laughing at the joke, you feel a little conviction. Now, you may laugh, but you realize that probably everybody else isn't feeling what you're feeling, and that thing was in me. I remember I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to, I love the ministry. I love the church. The church saved my life. Men in the church saved my life. I remember learning to play the drums in church, and I was, and it didn't start that way. I had some good men in my life, and I was playing drums in junior high, and I went to the associate pastor, and I said, I want to play drums. He said, great, run sound. I said, I play drums. He said, run sound. I said, I play drums. He said, not here, run sound. And so I learned to run sound. Learned faithfulness and put my hand to something. and small little things, and the church was intricate. And so I loved the church. I loved ministry. I loved the people in church. And so, man, I decided to go. I wanted to go to Christ for the Nations, but I couldn't do it academically. And so I thought, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to be this assistant movie theater manager, and I'm going to eat a lot of popcorn. I'm going to sell a lot of tickets. I'm going to have a lot of McDonald's. I mean, that's it. And my youth pastor's wife had been to a seminar up at Brookhill. And she said, you need to go check out this internship. And I went up there. It was a two-year college at that time. And anything with the word college in it scared me. I didn't want to go. I'm from Texas. I had roots in Texas. My mom made me go. And I remember from Waco, that's where I live. I grew up in Waco. From Waco to Hot Springs, I didn't say a word to her. I was rebellious. I was mad. I was heated. She got out and went to go get something to eat. I just stayed in the car. I'm going to prove, sweat. I'm going to prove to you. And I got up there, and man, the power of God. I went into that meeting. I had no intent on staying. Power of God hit me, and I knew I was supposed to be there. So I said, I want to come. And they said, well, we don't know if we want you. And I said, that's all right. I've never been first in my life. You know, they sent me a letter, and I came. And the first semester, I made a 1.3. If you don't know anything about GPA, that's bad. This my second semester, I made like a 1.6. It got a little better. I went from F's to D's. And I wanted to work a summer camp. And I'm getting to the end of my story because I know some of you are like, we don't care. I did a summer camp, Brookhill Ranch. They didn't want to hire me. And so I found out they did a summer camp. And I went to the camp director at that time. And his name was Brian. And I went and I said, I want to work your summer camp. And he said, no. And I said, I want to work your summer camp. And I asked him for like 6 months. Finally, it got to the place he said, don't ask me again. I know you want to work. I'll come to you if we need you. I was like, all right. So it was like 3 months before the year was in. Before the year was over. And camp was about to start in about a month and a half. And so we were in April. And he comes and says, I want to talk to you about working at camp. And I was like, when? Where? He said, I'll talk to you tomorrow at breakfast. So we sat down and he goes, listen, we don't really have any spots being a counselor in a cabin. But if you want to be the janitor, we'll let you come. And I was like, figures. And I was like, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do whatever. And I'm telling you, I came to camp. The guy who was supposed to take over and be a senior counselor of the Hackney Bunkhouse got sick, and reluctantly, they put me in that position. They put me in the position of being a senior counselor, and I'm telling you, everything in my life changed because here's what I found out. I got to touch ministry, and it started to change my life. I got to touch ministry. I got to see my giftings. I started sharing my testimony about my parents, and I would see young kids just cry and break, and all of a sudden something started breaking off my life because I've touched success. And my whole life I'd been void of touching something that would work. And we started Be The One Ministry because here's the thing. We see a lot of people coming to church, but we don't see a lot of people touching ministry. And I'm telling you, if you don't touch ministry, then you are learning behavior modification, but you are not seeing the Holy Ghost move through you. You got to touch it. And when I started to touch it, something started to change in me. And it was no longer me sitting in the seat trying to be good. But I wanted something to change from the inside out because I wanted to pour more out. Does that make sense? And I'm telling you, that's the missing component of the church. You can't do a drive-by church. You can't come for an hour and a half. You've got to touch ministry. Your life has got to help somebody else's life. And when that happens, your whole life will change. It changes your life. Came back to college. My very next semester, I got a 2.8. Then I couldn't go back to school because ran out of money. Worked about 95 hours a week. Got money to pay for last semester and the next semester. Ended up graduating. Finished with a 3.2. Since that time, I've written 2 books. I've sold over 8,000 books. Spoken to well over 10,000 people. And what I'm telling you is, many of you, if there's something inside of you that you know is there, if you don't touch ministry, you could live this life and never awaken your full potential. God has called you to do something. Not just to sit, not just to run through life, but you got to touch it. Because that's what you were created to do. Love Him, love others. And if you're just trying to love Him and that other love part isn't coming, then I'm telling you, you are almost there, but you ain't there. Does that make sense? And I want to talk about, that leads me into what I want to talk about. I got an assignment. I got something I want to pray. I want to get into the Word. But I want to talk about being rooted. You got to be rooted. Everybody say rooted. You got to be rooted. And we have a society of people that are not rooted. We got families that are not rooted. Look at our social problems. We're not rooted. How did abortion become a political issue? We're not rooted. When all through the Bible it talks about life. All through the Bible it talks about life. All through the Bible. How did we get to the place where most Americans spend more than they make? We're not rooted. And our philosophies, and we're trying to come up with what's good. Marriages, some over 50% end in divorce. We're not rooted. And God is a rooted God. Jesus didn't just pop up out of the air. He was rooted. He was rooted. There was a tribe. There was a lineage. There was you could trace this back to the beginning. And what I'm telling you is our families are going to struggle if there's no roots. You've got to be rooted. And so today as we talk, I want to share some stuff with you. I'm rooted. I live in Arkansas, have for the last 19 years, but I'm a Texan at heart. Come on. But I'm not a Houston Texan. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm rooted. Dallas, the last 10 years, we took over the Aints and tried to put bags on our head. It was nasty. You know what I'm saying? We lived through Romo fumbling. We live through it, and now we're 4-1, about to be 5-1, and you can just like it or not. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we've had our adversity. We've had our Pharaohs. Listen, I'm rooted. I'm so rooted. I've been injured watching football game, Dallas Cowboy football. I remember at Thanksgiving, you see, you don't know nothing about roots. I remember being a young teenager, and it was a Thanksgiving game, and remember when Leon Lett missed? Y'all, anybody remember that? Thanksgiving, I was in my aunt's back bedroom. All the old people were eating and talking and playing cards. I was alone watching the Dallas Cowboy game. And when Leon Lett, I was laying in the bed, and the bed was elevated. It was one of them big beds. I don't even know how they got into it. And when Leon Lett touched that ball and it went into the end zone, I jumped up and hit my head on the ceiling fan and had to get 3 stitches in my head. I'm rooted. I'm rooted. And what I'm saying is, if we're not careful as Christians, we won't be rooted. Never before in our dispensation have people been offended and just left church. Never before do we get offended. We've been friends for 10 years, and then unrooted. That one girlfriend said one thing to you, and now you've blocked her on Facebook. Some that got real for some of y'all. Y'all like, oh. Yeah, rooted. We're a society that is not rooted. And what I'm telling you is, if we don't stay rooted, man, there are good days and there are bad days, but consistency is part of the Christian culture. And if we don't stay rooted, then what I'm telling you is we will be tossed by the wind. And you know what? Life won't work like it could work for you. We got to be rooted. I want to talk today about being rooted. Turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And I'm going to pull it up on my Bible. You know, turn there, scroll there, however you rock it. I do this so people can judge me. I got to give you religious people something to think about other than my sermon. All right, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. It's so funny, church culture. You know, what is spiritual and what is not spiritual? I can't believe he preached the word of God from his phone.
Jesus didn't carry around the scrolls. If you flip it or I turn to it, what does it matter? I have it and you have it. Shut up. Listen sometimes. Okay. Some of y'all are like, ooh, I didn't like that. That's okay. Keep going. All right. Mark 8, chapter 22. And then he came to Bethesda, and they brought him a blind man. They brought a blind man to him, and he begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked if he saw anything, and he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to the house, saying, neither go into town nor tell anyone in town. I want to talk today about being rooted. I want to talk today about being rooted. Real quick, I'm going to give you one more scripture verse, and I'm going to come back to this one just so that you can get a full understanding of what I'm wanting to talk about. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and I want to turn there, it talks about living as wise and not unwise. And I'm just telling you, if we get to the place in our Christianity where we are not rooted, then you are living unwise. You're living unwise. And I want to walk through this. Ephesians chapter 15. Ephesians chapter 15. Verse 15. And let's read this real quick here so that we can do this, and then we'll go on. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Okay? Wise people are rooted. I want to walk through this scripture verse as we start to talk about it. First of all, when you read the Bible, you need to read the Bible and not read it like spiritual homework. But what I like about this verse in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, is it says that when he was in Bethesda, everybody say they. Can I tell you that you have an obligation as a believer to be a they? That this miracle would have never happened. God would have never, the great glory would have never happened. There would have never been this blind man totally transformed. There would not have been this miraculous moment without a they. See, if people don't stay rooted, if people don't stay married, if people don't stay parenting their children, if there's not a sense of roots, then what happens is we miss the people in need with issues, because the people with roots tend to bring people to Jesus. You're not just coming to church. You're not just, there are a few people in our church that are elderly that have a pocket full of candy. And my kids, as soon as they come up to church, they beeline it for these older people in our church. And my kid Sage, can I go see Mrs. So-and-so? Rooted. There's more ministry to be done in the church other than the pastor, the associate pastor, the worship leader, and the youth pastor. You got to be rooted. And if there would not have been a they, somebody brought this man who could not get there on his own to Jesus so that there would be a moment. Some of you got a truck, you got a car, you got a business. You need to be the theys. You get to be the one to provide a moment for someone that can't get there. Their issues won't allow them to get there. They're held back. They're frustrated. They can't move forward, and they meet you. You're the they. Business owners, you're the they. Employees, you're the they. Moms, you're the they. Does that make sense? Dads, you're the they. There's going to be times as a father and mother, as a husband or wife, that you have to usher people into the presence of God because they can't get there themselves. There's been times when my wife was so upset about premature daughters or our kids that I had to usher my wife that I had to lead her in prayer. I had to lead her because, you know what? She wasn't getting there herself. There's been times when my wife has been a they and she's ushered me. Babe, where are we at? What are we doing? What's God saying? Oh, no. Well, who knows? You're going to have to usher your kids. You're going to have to usher. Does that make sense? You are a they. And before I want to get into the meat of this word, before I want to get into all that God wants to say, can I tell you something? That there is an obligation and a responsibility on your life to be someone that is rooted so that we can get other people to Jesus. It's not the front row's responsibility. It's yours as a believer of Jesus Christ, whose life is submitted to him. You are the they. And let me just tell you, anytime your issues trump your purpose, you're in trouble. Well, I can't because I'm working three jobs. My husband left. I got divorced. My kids are crazy. And all I'm telling you is if your issues trump your purpose, then you will be unrooted and you'll be frustrated in your life. And you will work harder on your excuses than you will on actually getting something done for the kingdom. There's always reasons why. There's reasons why on everything. There's reasons why Moses couldn't move forward. There's reasons why Joshua couldn't get over and actually beat all of the armies in Canaan. There were issues why Joseph couldn't be what God had told him to be in a dream. There are always issues. There are always setbacks. There are always things. But I'm looking for some people who will be the one, someone who will say, I'm a they. And it's my goal to bring someone here. I'm going to bring someone to church. I'm going to bring someone to the video night. I'm going to bring someone to this deal. I'm going to bring one woman to this sister meeting. I'm going to bring one man. My goal is I'm going to start saving money now so that when we go to Mighty Men, I'm going to pay for a man who's not a member of our church, and I'm going to see him there, and I'm going to usher this blind man spiritually to the presence of God. And when his life gets changed, I'm going to have a helper. See, the Bible calls us stiff-necked people because we've given God moments, but we forget. There's only two kingdoms you're going to pass by. And God don't care about how big your house is. That's great. You want to have a big house? Have a big house. You want to have a nice car? Have a nice car. You know what I'm saying? You want to have a camera in the front and the back when you beep it and go in front? That's great. God doesn't care about that as long as that never becomes what you are. You are the they. Everything will pass away. Every big building will come to crumbles. Every house will be ruined. Everything will be, it's not going to live forever. But people, that's what it's about. It's about people. It's about loving people. And I know people are stupid. Come on. Come on, you know any stupid people. Do not look at, don't look at your family. Come on. You know any people who aggravate you, frustrate you? See, what happens is, we know this, but we become conditioned by our feelings, and we never trump our purpose, and we allow our feelings to lead. I try to love them, but they're unlovely. I don't even know they have a heart. Well, they do have a heart, or they wouldn't be living. Come on. Listen, I'm not talking about being a wuss, but the reason the Bible tells us, how many times do you forgive? The reason the Bible tells us to turn the other cheek is not so we can raise up pansy men, but so that we can train people who never quit. I'm not quitting on this relationship. I'm not quitting on this. I'm going. I'm coming to get you. You know, you can deny me here, here, and here. But like Paul, you can throw words, rocks, whatever. I'm coming back into the city. I will get up. Your attitude towards me doesn't change my assignment towards you. You hear what I'm saying? Your attitude towards me does not change my assignment towards you. If you're in my city, I'm called to you. If you live on my block, I'm called to you. If you live three trailers down from mine, I'm called to you. If you work in my job, I'm called to you. If you know my name and we work together, I'm called to you. I'm a they. And while everyone may not come, somebody will. You don't control who comes and who doesn't come. You just control the hand that says, let's go. Does this make sense? Come on, somebody. This is who we are. Now, let's look at this. Let's go a little deeper in this. I want to talk a little bit. And they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Can we just stop? These men, we don't know. No, nameless faces. Come on, we got a lot of superhero Christian pastors and leaders that, oh man, they're somebody. And I'm telling you, it's nameless people every day that say, I'm part of the they. And I'm going to bring somebody in. You may never know me. I may never have a ministry. I may never have a podcast. I may never get employed by church, but I am a they. And you won't know my name, but there's going to be transformation because of my effort. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? This is what God has called us to do. And I love that they go to Jesus before this blind man does. They beg, they're interceding, they're praying, they're going to him. Come on, we know there's a lot of people who tick us off, but how many times are we going to prayer for those people? I'm meeting with Jesus about you today. And it doesn't end with smite them, Lord, you mighty smiter. It ends with God change their life, take the scales off their life, God reposition their life, help them be what I see something in them that they can't see in themselves. And God, if you can change them, God, I'm coming before you. I feel the anointing right here. There is someone that you need to speak their name, a dad, a father, a mother, a son, a brother. You need to speak their name. You need to bring them before Jesus. Because I am just saying, this is why churches are dead. Because they come, receive a word, but they have no responsibility to proclaim it out those doors. There is no responsibility. Come in and get behavior modification class and go out and try to live it a little bit for a while. Come here and learn to be better. And we're missing it. And I don't want to miss it no more. I don't want to miss it. I don't want my kids to miss it. I don't want my kids to see my Christianity and teach them that average is okay. You hear what I'm saying? Look at this. And so he took the blind man and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him. You know, Jesus, sometimes I think Jesus just likes to mess with people. That was for all the religious people. It's like Jesus pulling out his iPhone and pulling out the Bible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus did like 4 or 5 miracles. And you know what? And church culture is this. If we see a move of God, we're fixing to reproduce it. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? If we see something happening down in Florida, we fixing to have Florida. If we see something with IHOP, we fixing to have IHOP. And I think Jesus just spit on this dude. I mean, can you imagine if you were there? Dude comes up, can't even walk on his own, blind. And Jesus looks at him, takes him by the hand, I got to go back. Listen, let me tell you something. I know I'm gearing many of you up to go out and be a they. And man, I want you to be a they. But here's the deal. Your job is to get them to Jesus, not be their permanent leader. And way too many people want to be the permanent leader. They want to bring them to Jesus. Jesus, touch them, and I'll take them the rest of the way. No, you have to have a transfer. You get them to Jesus, and then he takes a hold, and you watch what God does. And a lot of people cannot let people go. I see a lot of churches that the pastor likes to keep hurt people because he's needed. You hear what I'm saying? These men take him up. And then there's an exchange. I got him this far. I did my part. You do the transformation part. You take over. You be the leader. I'll be the watcher. I'll be the support. I'll be the encourager. But you're the leader now. Come on. Jesus gets over here, takes him out of the city. I don't know how long they walked. I don't know how they had to navigate. But Jesus is navigating this blind man through the city. And the Bible says it takes him right on the outskirts of the city. Right there on the outskirts. Is it interesting? I don't know about you, but when you watch things, do things make you go, hmm? Yeah. Y'all remember that song that we were in high school with, things that make you go, hmm? Yeah. It was a song, things that make you go, hmm. YouTube it.
No, actually don't. It's probably nasty. I don't know. I can't remember. But
you ever find yourself singing something from your old life and then, man, that's terrible. Pull on the Goonies and watch it. Goonies before saved and Goonies when I have kids is a different Goonies. You talk about dirty, you love some dirty little kids. Don't be like none of them. Turn that off. And so anyway, Jesus is over here and leads him out of the city. Why didn't Jesus just heal him? Why didn't Jesus do a dab-a-doo? Why didn't Jesus just fix it? Like, I came to you to fix me. I didn't come for you to lead me out. Just do it. Just get it done. And then Jesus gets him to the edge, and they have a spitting party. Like, if I was watching this, I would be like, oh, man, oh, Jesus escorting that blind. Oh, man, that's so cool. Jesus, like, he helping it. What's he doing now? What's Jesus doing? Jesus need a Heimlich. What did he eat? Y'all go help Jesus. Oh, that is nasty. You can see some of that coming off in his hand. He's the son of who? God spent his hand? And then he puts it on the eyes. I mean, imagine if you were there. Oh, don't you. The only reason you're doing that is because he don't even know what's coming. Yeah, that's a. Yeah, I would be over there. Shift, move, left, right. But, I mean, just a. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure people were talking. Like, things were going down. And so the blind guy's like, what, man? What? What are y'all talking about? Dude, this is not even fair. Someone speak to me. Okay, my ears work. I just kidding. Why is everybody going, ew? Why is that? I don't like ew. What's ew? I think sometimes Jesus did this to mess with religious people because even the disciples, when Jesus did the feeding of the 5,000 and the disciples got back in the boat, they were supposed to pick up all the baskets of food. Y'all remember this? And they left them. And so Jesus is like, okay, we're fixing to do another miracle. And he's like, the guys are like, we don't have the baskets. And Jesus is like, it ain't the baskets, bro. It's me. Y'all remember in the 80s, everybody was blowing on people? 90s, touch. We always trying to find the form, and we miss the Savior. We always try to, Jesus spit, hallelujah. Get you some anointing. A bath or anointing, but either way, it's good. You know, Jesus fed people. We have a feeding ministry. Jesus did, and we're always trying to find Jesus in what he did rather than the results he got. You hear what I'm saying? And Jesus spits on his eyes and instantly he's able to see. And then he says something. I want to look at this real quick. Y'all with me? We'll start in the middle of 23. And when he had spit on his eyes, nasty, he put his hands on him and asked if he saw anything. And he said, I looked up and I see men like trees walking. Everybody say walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and his eyes were restored, and he saw everything clearly. Here's what I want you to know. I've heard a lot of preaching over this text, and I've heard pastors and leaders and people, which I'm not saying they're wrong. I've just heard a lot of people say, you know, sometimes you just need more time with Jesus. Sometimes you're so jacked up, one touch ain't enough. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes one touch gets you in the vicinity, but the second touch gets you healed. You know what I'm saying? Your faith grows in stages. I've heard a lot of this, but you know what? Everything Jesus does, I know about Jesus. But here's the thing. Everything that Jesus did was strategic. Jesus knew when it wasn't his time. He knew when his time ended. Jesus was everywhere on purpose. When Jesus took a little break at the water well, there was a woman about to be met. I never read a time in the Gospels where Jesus wasn't exactly where he wanted to be. Jesus knew when the storm was going to wreak havoc on the disciples. And as he is praying, he leaves his prayer because he knows when to intercede and intercept them
Does that make sense? Oh, it's time to go. My boys need me. Hey, it's a ghost. No, it's me. Cool. I'm just saying everything Jesus did was strategic. So I cannot believe that this was a, my bad, redo. Oh, I only prayed half as hard. I believe that something happened, and this man, when he was prayed, Jesus was so powerful. Jesus was so powerful that when Jesus touched this man's eyes, his eyesight was restored to the garden. It was restored to the very beginning. I'm going to show you this. Look right here. Genesis. Go to Genesis. We're going to look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. Genesis chapter 3, 4 through 7. When Jesus touched this man, his sight was totally healed, not partially healed. Look at this. When the serpent, chapter 3, verse 4 of Genesis. When the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the days that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit, also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes, everybody say eyes, of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. Let me just tell you, here's the thing. God, when he created Adam and Eve, they saw different. Jesus saw different. That's why when he was on the boat and the storm was coming up and dude was taking a nap, I don't see physical limitation. I do not see a physical limitation. I don't see physically. It doesn't mean that I don't interpret what's going on. It just means my eyes see different. You see a storm, I see a path. Moses, you see no way out. God, pick up that staff. What you see and what God sees, come on, it's totally different. And Adam and Eve saw what God saw in the garden. God didn't create Adam and Eve blind. He created them with spiritual sight. And when they disobeyed and took that fruit, they unrooted themselves and their spiritual eyes shut, their physical eyes opened, and they knew they were naked. Come on, because I can be anywhere. And my peripherals are great. And if a naked person walks by, I know. You don't have to point them out to me. If they're in my peripherals and they're naked, I'm like, woo! I'm like, I'm just telling you, I know I can see naked people. I know naked. No matter where you're at, if you're from here, I see you. How did they not know? How did they not know? They got unrooted. That's why the New Testament continually tells us Jesus always said, you have eyes, but you can't see. And you have ears, but you can't hear. See, there's another dimension. And I'm not being spiritually wacky. I'm just telling you that it's in the Word countless times. But if you don't understand that, then you miss it. You miss it. When Jesus touched this man, here's what happened. Jesus laid his hands and he touched this man, and this man said, I want my sight. And Jesus touched him and he gave it to him. Back in the, and the man said, I see men like trees walking. He saw the spiritual condition of Bethesda. How do we know what Bethesda? Bethesda was a terrible place. Look at this verse right here. I just want to show it to you real quick so you know I'm not making this stuff up. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. I know y'all didn't come for Bible study. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. It says to you, it says this, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethesda. What? For if the mighty works that were done in Tyre and Sidon,
they would have repented long ago and wore sackcloth and ashes. In other words, I have done work. I have done miracles. Bethesda, you're not repenting. You're not changing. You are unrooted. See, the man saw the spiritual condition of the society, and they were like trees walking. What is trees walking? They were unrooted. They weren't grafted. They were doing their own thing, acting their own way, come up with their own thoughts. They weren't rooted. And all I'm telling you is if you're not rooted, then your opinions will run your life and your feelings will run your life. But the Bible says, who can trust our heart that it's wicked? That's why we got to go back to the Word. And because the Word tells us how to think. It tells us how to process. It tells us that when we want to be overly critical of our mate, think about what is pure and noble and good. When we want to get so tired of our children and we know in the back of our head they're a blessing, but all we feel like right now is, which one do you not want? That's when you go back to the Word and go, children are a heritage of the Lord. A person who has a child is blessed. Their quiver is blessed. Their arrows, and they shoot out into the future, and they're your legacy. See, the Bible tells you what to think about your money, about what your mate, about yourself, about who you are. And we are an opinion-based society. We're an offense-based society. And are we men walking like trees? We're not rooted. We're not grounded. I know the Bible says that, but I know we should tithe, but I know that we should turn off that type of entertainment, but I know that when I get depressed, I need to go to Jesus and let him transform my thoughts, but I can't stop thinking about the negative. Are you unrooted? I need to shut off that pornography. I need to whatever it is, but I'm telling you, are you rooted or are you unrooted? Are you walking around like trees or are you rooted? Somebody say rooted. Are you rooted? The last thing is this. Is that in this verse, I love the fact that he says, he takes him to the edge of the city, and he says, don't come back. See, some of you could stay rooted if you left some relationships. But the reason you can't stay rooted is because your cousin, your uncle, your mom, your dad, whoever it is unrooting you every time you plant. You hear what I'm saying? I love that Jesus, before he administered this healing, took this man and walked him out to the edge, put him on the edge of the city, and said, now look. Well, all of them, they're unrooted. No one's planted. Don't come back here. Don't come back here. I got four things to tell you, and then I'm going to be out of your way. The importance of being rooted. First one. Rooted people have the ability to take people to the answer. You have the ability. If you wait before you're perfect, if you wait before you got it all together, if you wait before you don't have any sin, then I'm telling you, you will never do anything. You got to start with what you have. You use your little and you make it much. What area has God overcome in your life? And it may only be one area, but you need to promote that area because you're rooted. Second thing, learning to trust that Jesus can lead us out of whatever issue and whatever's going on in our life. Come on, we're not by ourselves. Jesus can navigate you. He can lead you out. If you're frustrated about where you're at, what's going on, your marriage, being married, finances, career, what's next, trust in the Lord. Trust that Jesus will lead you out. The third is an encounter with Jesus will cause you to see differently. An encounter with Jesus will cause you to see differently. And some of you have promoted church above Christ. And we got to get back to Christ. You're hoping that some leader will lead you out. But I am telling you, a leader can only lead you so far. Because I'm infallible. I mess up. You got to grab Jesus. You got to let him take you. You got to let him lead you out. The last thing is this. Receive
direction. Those who are rooted receive direction. And right now, maybe some of you are struggling with some directional issues. What's going on? What's next? What do I have? And can I tell you that Jesus was God enough to heal him, but practical enough to say, this ain't where you belong now. And I think a lot of times what we do is we think, if you're God enough to heal me, then you're God enough to protect me, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to change a culture that don't want to be changed. Jesus was the one that said, if they don't receive you, shake off your sandals and walk on. Does it make sense? He was God enough to heal him, but practical enough to say, if you go back right now, they will dismiss what has happened in your life. They will tell you that it's not true. They will say that you are not blind. Their hearts are not ready to receive the truth of what just happened, and they will uproot you. Somebody say rooted. Every man, are you rooted? In your family, are your family rooted? Are you rooted? Are you ready for the responsibility? God moves responsibility in stages. Are you ready for the responsibility of a wife and kids? Are you rooted? Because there will be days that you will have to usher them. Wives, are you rooted? Are you rooted enough in the Lord and not in culture that you can allow your husband to lead? Not dominate, lead. Young people in this place, are you rooted? Do you need God when you're in trouble? Do you need God when you need a hookup? Do you need God, or are you rooted? Because rooted people look different over time. And I don't want to be a flash in the pan. I want to be rooted. I want to be rooted.
Thank you for listening to this Be The One message. For more information about Be The One Ministries, including blog, Facebook, and Twitter updates, please visit BeTheOneMinistries.com.